In the book of Acts, you recall, we won't turn there now. I'd like you to turn to the book of Genesis, because the book of Acts is kind of this Genesis, if you will. Genesis means new beginnings. So it's the book of new beginnings. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the word is Elohim, remember. Elohim is in the plural tense. Again, just showing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's in the masculine tense, not because God is man, but because in Hebrew, the masculine tense is to show authority. He's the authority. He is the authority. And we see that as he does that, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth was forming without void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. Guess what? There was light. And here God, the ultimate light. The Bible says that when we go to heaven, there's no need for the sun or the moon. It'll be radiated by Jesus himself. Just the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord just permeating throughout the heavens. And God saw the light and he saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. You see there, instantly, in the beginning, there's a separation between things, people. There are people of the darkness, there's people of the light. How do you become people of the light? Give your life to Jesus Christ. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. And God called the light day. Yom is the Hebrew name. It's day, it's brilliance, not darkness. And the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So this is God creating things. And then in Genesis 1, verse 26, he created something else. He says, let us make God. Let us. If your Bible has let us in capital letters, it's showing deity, God. So then God said, let us make man in our image. Again, a reference to the Holy Spirit, us, are. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle and all the earth, and of every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. He blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Why? What's this purpose of filling the earth and subduing it? It's this darkness that now is becoming alive again. Because that's what God does. He gets something that's dead, that's dark, and brings life to it. Right here. Death and darkness was what I was in. And the light of Christ shone into my life and said, breathe. And he breathed on me. And he breathes on you. The Bible says that even the scriptures are breathed into men to pen these things. God is the giver of life, and he breathes upon us. He says, take it, subdue it. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. And we see that God gives us duty to do. He gives us a job to do. He calls us to certain things, and we're to do it. When we hear the call of God, we're to go and do what he calls us to do. Then he gives us instruction. As we go along doing what we're supposed to do in Christ, whatever your assignment is, whatever my assignment is, yours might be a good, good husband and a good, good father to your children. That might be the only thing God has called you to do, but if you do it in the love and the heart of Christ, you fulfilled your ministry. As long as you're doing it to God, whether you're doing ministry over here or at home, you still inherit Jesus. You still have access to the Holy Spirit and all his riches and glory. He says in verse 16, and the Lord God, and notice it's a different word. It's Elohim. It's not Elohim, God. It's Almighty Creator of the heavens. It'll use the word G-O-D there, that's Elohim. Here it uses the word Yahweh, that Hebrew acronym for God. And it says the Lord God. So when you see that in the Old Testament there, you see the Lord God, that's Yahweh. When you see G-O-D, That's Elohim, Almighty Creator. Here it's kind of a more relationable, softer name for God. And Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Notice, he gives us instruction for protection. Protection of what? From death. Death and darkness is hovering over. This is the world that before God changed it to what it is now, and there's another changing going to happen later on when he comes back and he reclaims this. And then it says in chapter 3, verse 1, he provided a wife for Adam. And in chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God, Yahweh, had made. And he said to the woman, has God, notice, G-O-D, this is Satan speaking. Right here in this context, there's something going on here. We're introduced to the enemy. He was cast down from heaven. He was sent to a place that was form and without void. It appears he was here first, and God is going to, just like cleanses the temple on the earth, he's going to cleanse this. He's going to call it back and redeem it to himself when he comes in the clouds of glory, remember. In the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming of the Lord, he comes to take back that which is his. Are you his? Have you given your life to Jesus? If you have, he'll always be your warrior. But pastor, you don't understand. I've fallen. I've fallen hard. It's okay. He bled for your sins. If you turn your face to him, he'll receive you. He'll receive you. Here we're introduced to the serpent. And it says that he was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field which Yahweh had made. And he said to the woman, has Elohim? Oh, not the loving, tender, father-like God, not Yahweh, but has Elohim, almighty, powerful creator of the universe? Has he said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You see how the enemy, the world, makes God to seem to be this harsh person. It's not God's fault. Oh, why does God allow wars? Why does God put horrible authorities in our life? Look at Nazi Germany. God placed him there. He puts people in authority, but it's up to them. It's up to us what we do with that authority. You can abuse it, which he did. Hitler, he abused it. Or you could use it for the glory of God, as some do. See, Satan keeps painting God in a bad light. Oh, Elohim. Oh, he's Yahweh, our loving, kind Father. So we're here to make life miserable for him. We are sent as the military is sent out. We are sent out in a war. Why? He started the war in heaven. Satan did. And God, he was cast down, and now God is giving us the opportunity to enlist, to defeat him. Why? Because he's come against our God. You know, we hear it. Are you in God's army? Yeah, brother, I'm in Christ's army, you know. Well, then get to work. Get involved, whatever it is. Do something, you know, to defend our God, to defend our King, our Lord, our Savior, our Father. If somebody would mess with my dad, I would have gone nuts. He's my dad. He's my father. And Satan came against him. And then he took a third of all that belonged to Christ, his creation, the angels. He turned them against my Father. I'm going to do all I can right now. I'm not going to wait for eternity to praise him. I'm going to praise him right now. I'm not going to wait for eternity to serve him. I'm going to serve him right now. Amen? That's what we're to do. Serve him with your life. Offer your life to him. In the book of Acts, we were introduced to three Greek words. Remember last week? There was the para, with us. There was the en, E-N, in us. And there was the epi, upon us. And we spoke about how God is para, with us. He's in us. When God, before we ever accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God has been with us. protecting us, keeping us, calling us to himself. And then once you receive Jesus and you ask Jesus to come into you, he comes in you. And then there's this word, epi, in the Greek. And this is the word that we see over here when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will come epi, upon you, with power. And when you receive that, so there's para with us, God is with us, whether we have given our life to him or not, whether we serve him or not, he is always with you. And then there's in us when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and then that's not where it ends. Then the Trinity, if you will, working inside of you, and then the epi upon you, you have the power of the Holy Spirit as well. Now you have the Father with you all the time, Jesus in us, and you have the Holy Spirit upon you. And now you have power, more power than you had before, to fight that serpent of old, that enemy of God. My Father's enemy is my enemy too. And you fight him on your knees, doing all that you can for him. It says something very interesting in verse 1. It says, the former account I made, O Theophilus. Remember what that word meant? It was a word that means lover of God, friend of God. O Theophilus, O lover of God, O friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Or are you a lover of God? How much do you want to serve him? He says of the account of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Notice, Jesus didn't just teach. He did what he taught. He led by example. He didn't ask you to do something he wasn't willing to do. And we shouldn't either. As Christians, we should do what we know. I always tell people, the more you learn about the Bible, it's a two-edged sword. Oh, this is great. I love this about the Lord. You know, you're reading the Word of God and it shows you something. But you can't just hear it. You have to apply it. So now you're accountable for more. It cuts both ways. You hear it and then you got to put it to use. Jesus did that. Until the day in which he was taken up. Speaking of the resurrection, the glorified Christ, remember, as he met with them. And after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given the commandments, notice, he showed an example of walking in the flesh, yet being under the power of the Holy Spirit. He came to earth, he walked in the flesh, and he tells us right here, he gave us instructions and commandments of God under the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. Given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, he chose them for a specific work as he's chosen each and every one of us. Whether the work is grand, anywhere in between, or just a humble, holy home. He also presented himself alive. So now we see that he's the resurrected Christ after his sufferings and with many infallible proofs being seen by them for 40 days. And speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He's still the same Jesus. He's always pointing to the Father. He's still the same Jesus. He walked under the power of the Holy Spirit. So can you. Why did Jesus come in the flesh? So that he can show us that we have a hope. We have a glorious hope. Look at Jesus. He walked with the Holy Spirit. This was a concept you have to understand in the Old Testament. It's a concept that they didn't understand. Because thus says the Lord is what the prophet would say, and God would speak to the prophet. But now he's saying, no, you guys are a holy nation, his special people. There's two words for prophecy in the Greek language. Speaking in the future, prophesying, or speaking forth. He's telling us, speak forth. The word for prophecy in the New Testament, he says, speaking forth the word of God. Not foretelling. Very few have that gift, but speaking forth. The prophets, they didn't have the scriptures we had then. So they heard a word from God, and they proclaimed it. They prophesied, and they said things, what's going to happen to this day right now, the church. But we can go and forth tell people about God. They assembled together, remember. They did what he called them to do. And he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. You see, God was telling them, wait. The Spirit that is in me as I walk in this flesh can be in you. Just wait. Maybe you've been waiting for a time such as today, where you've never asked God to baptize you in the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can have the power to say no when you're tempted. So you'll have the ability to see the way of escape. The Bible says when you're tempted, God will always provide a way of escape from you. We just have to look for it. Sometimes our eyes are blinded because we don't have the Holy Spirit upon us. They didn't even know what the Holy Spirit meant upon them until this book of Acts was written. And you know the story. It says in verse 7, and Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. They were wondering what's going to happen to their kingdom, their Israel. That's our propensity to worry about things. Don't do it. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes epi upon you. And you shall be a witness. The word is literally has its roots in testimony. A witness is a testimony, but it's an interesting word. It's marteia. It means martyr. You will become a martyr. Now, most of the apostles died as martyrs. Is God calling me to die to my faith? He's calling you to die to flesh. You got to kill the flesh. Not necessarily on the cross or beat it to death with rules and regulations, but submit to the Lord. Fall in love with Jesus and let the flesh die once and for all. Just put it aside. There should be no schisms. Don't have schisms. There should be no pride. There should be no arrogance. You should walk under the power of the Holy Spirit in love one for another, lifting one another up. This is what God has called us to do. This is what the Holy Spirit has said. You know, be a testimony. In the book of Revelation, it says, by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. What is your testimony? It's not what you say you've done in Christ. It's what you're doing in Christ. It's how you're applying the Word of God to your life. That's our testimony. I was once this, but now I belong to the Lord. You can turn away from your sin. You're never too young. You're never too old. You can turn away from that and give your life to the Lord. With the promise and the assurance of everlasting life, He showed us right there. Look, I am the Father. I am the Son. I am the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, Elohim, the plurality of God. Do we understand it? No, we can't understand it. But we receive it in faith, knowing that God is not a liar. That He speaks truth, the Bible says, and every man is a liar compared to Him. Don't lie to yourself any longer. Don't think you're smarter than God. He's omnipresent. You're in one place at one time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. We know little. He knows everything in the fullness of the ages. We see in part. Just take His word for it. He created you. He knows you. And soon we'll see Him face to face. It's interesting because it says in verse 9, now when He had spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. God is coming on a cloud. He ascended on a cloud. It's not a cloud, fluffy cloud, necessarily like we see that brings the rain. It's the Shekinah glory upon the Lord, like the cloud, like in Moses and the mountain. And we see that God just bringing up and showing everyone the resurrection. I want you to do something interesting here, or turn rather to the book of Matthew chapter 17. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, what's going on here is going to be another cloud. We saw the cloud in the book of Acts, the cloud of resurrection rising up. the resurrection showing that. And then here in Matthew 17, verse 1, we're going to see another cloud. There's going to be five clouds that we look at, all referencing the Shekinah glory of God. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. And haven't you noticed, I don't know if you've noticed, guys, but the last few weeks, God keeps referencing us, sometimes on Wednesdays, sometimes on Sundays, this chapter 17. I don't know what it is, but we keep coming back to that in all the texts that we're in, keeps coming back to here. Is God trying to tell us something? Absolutely. He says, you can be like Peter, John, and James. You could be led up to the mountain by yourself with God. You can spend time alone with God, and you'll know him more fully. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, shined like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elisha appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Big mistake, Peter, equating a man with God. No, we never equate. If you see a pastor, an evangelist, or anyone who's really on fire for God, don't equate him with God. Never, ever, ever. Peter, still kind of going through his fleshly mindset, says, whoa, Elijah, Moses. What's interesting, how did he recognize him? You see, God will show us. People ask me, am I going to recognize my mom and my dad? And I go, oh, yeah. And Daniel and Moses and Elijah. Complete knowledge of the Holy One is going to be all around you. You're going to know people that you just read about. Here, Peter had no clue apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus there, who these guys were. And yet, notice, he recognized it. But do not equate man with God. Peter says, let me build a tabernacle for all of you and for you too. And while he was still speaking, Jesus didn't even address him. It's Peter, you know. He'll get it together. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud. There it is. The voice from the cloud. The first cloud we look at, apart from the book of Acts. While he was still speaking, behold, like the word behold in the Greek is wow. You know, like, wow, check it out. Look at this. And it says, this cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud. Remember the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. When they were leaving Egypt, there was a pillar of fire in the pillar of the cloud, protecting. You have God's power. You have God's mercy, God's light overshadowing them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Not Elijah. Not Moses. He didn't say, check out Moses, Peter. Check out Elijah. No, he said, this is my son. Jesus. Get your eyes off of every man, woman who we think is somebody. Jesus is the one you put your eyes on. Put your eyes on Jesus. This voice came out and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And all of them fell on their faces. It gives us an example of what we should do in the presence of God. When you go into your prayer closet, it's just you. It's not your wife. The kids aren't there. There's time to pray with them. There's time to pray here. There's so many different aspects of prayer and fellowship and community in Christ. But God wants a one-on-one with you. God desires an audience with you. He loves all this other aspect of, this is awesome, the music, everything is good. There's so many avenues of praise and worship and servitude to the Lord, but he wants an audience with you. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, we see another cloud. This one's not as good. The first cloud was the voice from the cloud. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to get alone with God. You need to be in the public arena and area listening to God, but you got to hear the voice somehow and then get into the word. Here, this cloud is not a good cloud. It says in Luke chapter 12, verse 54, then he, Jesus, also said to the multitude, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow and you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky and of the earth and how it is. How is it you do not discern this time? What time? The time of opportunity to draw close to the Lord. This is going to end. All this is going to go away. And Jesus is going to come back and redeem it. But if you miss the boat and you haven't given your life to the Lord, you're going to miss it. And it says here, you know this is what's going to happen. It's like gravity. Which way does water flow? Up? Why? I don't know. Do we float up? No. If you jump off a cliff, are you going to go, whew? No. Splat. Why? I can't see gravity, therefore I don't believe in it. Nevertheless, you're still going to fall. You're going to hit. He says, you know how to discern the natural elements and things that are happening all around you, but when I tell you about what God can do, the one who made all these elements and stuck them together and balanced them between the span of his hand, you don't believe it? Hypocrite. You know what hypocrite? It's the word actor. There are actors in the church. Oh, praise God, hallelujah, and in public, but then by themselves, they go off and do their thing. Don't be a hypocrite. Jesus is calling us on that. He says, yeah, hypocrites, you don't believe the words of God? Yes, and why? Even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? You know what's right and what's wrong. You know what sin is. Whether you're saved or unsaved, I knew what sin was when I was yet unsaved. And I know what sin is now. And I knew the things I was doing then, which is sin. I know the things I do now that is sin and I fall short. How much longer do we want to walk in that sin? How much do you love God? Do you love him enough to let it go, to draw closer to him? Here, this is, we saw the voice from the cloud. We've seen the cloud of resurrection. This is the cloud of hypocrisy. We don't want to believe it. Why? Because our flesh doesn't like the light. Jesus says the light blinds. God's light is so powerful it blinds us. You turn on a light in the middle of the night, you can't find your way around. But if you walk in the light, you have no need for the darkness. In the book of Revelation, as we draw towards the end of the message, we see the cloud of wrath. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, it says, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun. And his feet were like pillars of fire. This is not good. It's going to get worse. This is the cloud of wrath. You know, and he had a little book open in his hand, and he set it on his right foot on the sea, and he put his left foot on the land, and cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. This is judgment, the roaring of a lion. It's coming. This is a warning. You ever seen a Nat Geo Discovery, something about the big cats, you know, or the lions, and they go, oh. It's like, you better get out of here. This is not good. It's a warning. There's impending judgment coming for those who are not in the body of Christ, who have not yielded to the Spirit, to God calling, to the Holy Spirit with you, to the Holy Spirit in you, to the Holy Spirit upon you. We have to have all three aspects of the Holy Spirit working in our life. And the lion roars, and when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write This is John speaking, the Apostle John. He says, "But I heard a voice from the heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them." There's a judgment coming. There's a wrath of God at hand. Do you want to walk in it? Do you want to roll the dice and take your chances? How much do you want to be with Christ in heaven? Then show it here on the earth. And then, as we close, in the book of Luke, chapter 21, Luke 21, verse 25, Jesus speaking what to watch out for. He says, "Watch, therefore, and pray." The end time scenario. We've been around for almost 7,000 years. Seven is a big number in Christ's, in God's economy. We know that. There's 7 days of the week. Seven spirits of God, you know, and all these different things. Seven is a big number. And here it says in verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon. How many of you saw the red moons or heard of the red moons? You know, they're more frequent. There's a lot of signs that'll become more and more frequent. And it says, there will be these signs, and in the stars, and on the earth, distresses of nations. Have you ever seen it? Those of you who are my age or older, have you ever seen such distress in the world as we see now, and wars, not even rumors of wars now, just wars all over the place, and destruction of life as never before? Even those who don't know God have asked me, "What's going on? Is this the end? Oh no. Is this the tribulation? Mm-mm. This is nothing. This is the birth pangs of things to come. It's going to get worse, yes. God has established it, and it's going to continue to move forward to the coming and the glory of God. Are you in? Are you out? It's up to you. So it says here that these distresses of nations with perplexity. Nobody knows who's telling the truth anymore, do you? You see the news, and are these guys telling the truth? Are those guys telling the truth? Who's telling the truth? I don't know who's telling the truth. Well, then get your eyes off of the man or off of men and put them on God. And the seas and the waves are roaring. Another scripture talks about the beasts attacking humans. We see that happening. There's all these prophecies, forthtelling of the Old Testament to today that are coming about. We see it. And it says, so much so that in verse 26, men's hearts are failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And it says here, that's what he's speaking of, in verse 27, then they shall see the Son of Man coming on the cloud. So it gives this description of the tribulation period. And now, at the end of those years, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. It says in verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man. Who's that? Jesus. Coming in a cloud. There it is. With power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. This is the cloud of redemption. Isn't it amazing? You hear the voice of God, the voice from the cloud. He speaks to you one day. You fall on your knees. You say, "God, I want to do things your way. I've been doing them my way all the time. I've been a hypocrite. I know about the resurrection in Acts chapter 1. I want to hear your voice. I want to stop hiding in the cloud of hypocrisy, making people think I'm saved. I don't want to see the cloud of wrath upon me, Lord God. I want the resurrection. I want the redemption of Christ that you give me. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I fall short every day. But I also want you to know, Lord, that I believe in Jesus Christ." And if you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord and you feel that God is tugging on your hearts, pray in your heart sincerity. It's not about the words you say. It's about the condition of your heart. Maybe you're tired of sin. Maybe you're tired. You're worn out. The Bible says sin will blind you and sin will grind you, just like Samson, remember? The most powerful man on the earth. When he betrayed, he was a Nazirite, he was supposed to let the locks of his hair grow. When he betrayed and gave the enemy, gave himself over to the enemy, Delilah, when he did that, he turned. It's not just symbolic. He turned to the enemy of God and told her everything. Take me, it's my hair, and I'll be weak like any other man. And she did. And if you're tired of giving things to the enemy and you want to get in line with God, then give your life to the Lord. Samson, they tied him to a mill and he would grind the grain. They blinded him. They got a hot poker and burned his eyes out. Sin will blind you and grind you. Don't follow sin anymore. Travel by the light of Jesus Christ and watch what will happen. If you want to give your life to the Lord, I will lead you in a prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I believe your word. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you suffered, died, and was buried. That you came to earth for that specific reason. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I want you to live in me, Lord. And I want you to be upon me with your Holy Spirit of presence. And I want you to lead me and guide me. I don't want to be walking around in the dark anymore. It's brought me to pain and turmoil. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. I receive your free gift of salvation. I know it's free to me, but it cost you everything, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Teach me in your ways. Draw me nearer to you all the days of my life. If you said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God bless you guys.